Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message from God's Word. We also have a TV program that airs right after this program on public access channel number 6 on your television entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. All these radio broadcasts are there in MP3 files that can be downloaded. We also have all of our TV programs on that website that you can look at or re-examine or catch one if you miss one, and a host of other Bible-related material that will help you in your study of God's Word. At the end of this broadcast, you'll begin the meeting times of our regular services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to have you come and study and worship God with us. We are looking at an overview of the Bible. We are hastening to the conclusion of this by being in the book of Revelation. We last week talked about the church at Smyrna. Today, we're going to talk about the church at Pergamos. The church at Pergamos is seen in Revelation chapter 2, beginning in verse 12 through verse number 17. Let us read the text. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, "These things says he who has a sharp two-edged sword. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast to my name, and do not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there some who hold to the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. Thus you shall also have those who hold to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hid manna to eat. I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it." Now, this is another one of the seven churches that is found unfaithful, that has some things that it needs to correct. You notice in verse number 12, he says, he identifies himself, "These things says he who has a sharp two-edged sword." Now, again, the reference to a two-edged sword is the truth. It's the truth. If you remember in Hebrews, talking about the Word of God, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12, it says, "The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." And so this is a reference to the one who has given this inspired message. It just shows that his knowledge, his inspired knowledge, his infinite knowledge, that he is aware of all things. He is aware of the works of man. He's aware of their thoughts. He's aware of their intentions, and he's aware of their motivation. And so he wants them to correctly understand that he is aware of the truth of the things that he is saying. He is wanting them to understand that what he is saying is true. It is factual because it comes from God. It's not a mistake. He's not going to make a mistake. He knows the truth about their conduct, about their lives, and about the things that they are doing for his cause. And he says in verse 13, "I know your works." Again, he wants them to know that he's aware of what they're doing. Why? Because he's God. He's aware of all things that we do. "And where you dwell," that means wherever their habitation is. Wherever their habitation is wherever they're dwelling, wherever that might be, no matter how difficult or how distant it might be, God knows where they dwell. "And where Satan's throne is." That has a reference that there must be evil all around them. Satan dwells where there is evil. And so it probably has a reference to Rome, because evil is surrounding them. Evil is all around them, trying to compel them to accept the imperial worship. And so they're living in the midst of that. They're living in a place where maybe it's very worldly minded, very centered on the world and on the agenda of Satan. And so it would make it difficult for men to live there who are trying to strive for God. Kind of like Lot when he tried to live in Sodom and Gomorrah when men were unholy and immoral, and it vexed his soul daily, we read in Genesis chapter 19. This must be what Pergamos found itself in a place that was very difficult to strive to live godly. And he says, "And you hold fast to my name and do not deny." And so he commends them that they are unwavering. They are not going to deny his name. They are not going to cave in. They're not going to offer any reservation about being servants of Christ. And he commends them for that. He says, "You have not denied my faith." They have not denied his truth. "Even in the days with Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells." Remember, he told them that they were where Satan's throne is. They were where Satan dwells. And so Satan was there in the city of Pergamos because it was probably worldly minded doing the work of Satan and his adversaries and very, very opposed to Christianity. And even to the point that there was a martyr named Antipas that was killed for his faith in Christ. And even though they had that example before them, even though one had died for their faith in Christ, it had not swayed them or caused them to waver or to move or to deny the faith that they had in Christ Jesus. This is very commendable. And even in the face of such difficulty, even in the threat and the face of death that they had witnessed, they were not willing to waver. They were holding fast. They were being steadfast. They were not giving up. They were striving to do that which God would have them to do. And he commends them for that in the face of adversity. Ladies and gentlemen, even if we have adversity in our time, God expects us to remain faithful, to remain committed to him, dedicated to him, and not waver and not move from where he would have us to be and what he would have us, where he would have us to be. But then in verse 14, they have some problems. He says, "I have a few things against you because you have those who hold to the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality." This has reference to a story back in Numbers chapter number 22 with Balak and Balaam. Balaam was a prophet of God, and Balak wanted him to come and condemn and to curse God's people in order that they might be defeated. And he tried to do this on three occasions, and on three occasions he was always, because God was, he would speak God's word, that he blessed them instead of cursing them. And each time Balak became very infuriated with him because he would not curse them. Instead, he blessed them. But finally, after those three attempts failed, Balaam encouraged Balak that I can't curse them, but God will not be with them if they sin. And so he encouraged them to send the women of Moab in there so that they would commit sexual immorality and they would commit adultery and fornication. And when they did that and they committed harlotry, God would no longer look upon them favorably, and God would not be with them, and they could be destroyed. Now again, is that what's happening in verse 14? No, it's something similar to that. There were men that were encouraging God's people to sacrifice to idols, which they could not do because that would be contrary to his will, and to commit sexual immorality, which would be sin. Now, it's not talking that it was doing the exact same thing that was happening with Balaam and Balak, but in similar manner, they were being encouraged and they were being tempted to commit idolatry and to commit sexual immorality. And they had those there that were encouraging them to do that, and they were not taking measures to get them to be checked or to confront them and to chastise them. "Thus you have those who hold to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, things which I hate." And therefore, they were not taking an active opposition. They were ignoring the problem, it seems, and they were not dealing with it. They had these men there that were encouraging them to commit sexual immorality, encouraging them to commit adultery, encouraging them to commit idolatry, and also teaching things that were contrary to God's will, and they were not addressing it. They were not being forceful in trying to get it removed and opposed. And so he rebukes them for that. What does he tell them to do? He tells them to repent. That means to change your mind and to change your action. They have to repent or else what? He will come quickly and fight against them with the sword of his mouth. That means with the truth. He's going to come and he's going to defeat them with the truth. They are going to be in odds with God if they don't correct this situation. God giving them time to repent, to correct the direction they're going in, but it's limited because he tells them unless they repent quickly, that means that they begin to change the course that they're pursuing, that he's going to fight against them with the truth. He's going to take the truth and he's going to oppose them. And so instead of being with them, he is going to be against them. Now this is important, ladies and gentlemen. Again, it demonstrates the ability for men to fall who are in a relationship with God. These men could fall because they are doing things that are contrary to God's will. And then in verse 17, he tells them, to him who overcomes, I will give some hidden manna to eat. Again, this is a reference to the manna that God gave the Israelites when they were wandering through the wilderness, when we read in the book of Exodus, and in Numbers and Leviticus, when they were going through, he gave them manna to eat so their life could be sustained. And again, this is a reference that he will supply spiritual food in order that their souls might be nourished and be strengthened in opposing this error. And I will give them a white stone, and that means that reference purity, and a new name written on it, which no one knows except those who receive it. Again, the new name has to refer to the name of Christian. And so no one knows that name except those who have received it, those who have acknowledged it by their obedience to God. God will give them the strength and the nourishment spiritually that they need in order to have the information and have it at their disposal that they can use it in a correct way, that they can oppose Satan, they can oppose his adversaries, they can oppose sin, they can withstand it, they can overcome it, and then they will receive this white stone and this new name that no one knows except those who receive it. Only those who overcome can receive this white stone, a new name. Only those who overcome, only those who pass the test. Ladies and gentlemen, all God's people are going to have their challenges. They're going to have their tests. They're going to have times that they're going to be tested. And if we want to pass the test, we must, in order to overcome, that's the only way we pass the test. And when we pass the test, God will reward us. Again, we demonstrate this by love and obedience to his will. And so the church at Pergamos is going to have to make some changes if it's going to get themselves right with God. And so this is another unfaithful church that must act quickly to make a course direction to be more in line with what God would have them be. Thank you for listening. Tune in again next.